Jesus is alive. He was resurrected from the dead. The church in Corinth had a problem. In fact, they had a lot of problems. And one of their problems was that they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They did not believe that. And so in your Bibles, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul defends the resurrection of the dead. And he begins that defense by talking about Jesus and his resurrection. So I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And hopefully we'll get through the first 11 verses, but Linda says I never finish my lessons or my sermons or whatever. But anyway, on Sunday morning, wherever we stop, we'll just take off there next week. So it's all right. But you need to remember that 1 Corinthians 15 is the, what kind of chapter? Somebody tell me. Resurrection chapter. It's the resurrection chapter. So if I want to know something about the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15 is the place to go. Now, of course, Matthew 28 and Mark 16 and all those talk about the resurrection. But 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter. So that's what he's going to talk about. And when he ends the chapter, he makes application. Usually when we study in the Bible, we study what it says, what it means, and then we make application. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul makes his own application. The last verse, he tells you what the reason all this is true. Because all this is true, here's what you need to do. And we may mention that a little bit later. We will mention it several times over the next 2 or 3 weeks. 1 Corinthians 15. Hope you got it in your Bibles. I hope you'll look at it. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel. Let's stop right there. Who is the I?
Paul.
Paul. Now I, Paul, make known to you, Corinthian Christians, brethren, even though they had a lot of mistakes, even though they did a lot of things wrong, even though they had a lot of doctrines messed up, Paul still considered them brethren. One of the things we need to learn to do that nobody is perfect. Nobody is perfect. And you will help yourself and everybody else if you just accept that fact practically. Over the years, people have expected preachers to be perfect. And when they make one little mistake, they do something wrong, out of step, then we condemn them, they no good. Let's get rid of them. But the fact is, nobody's perfect. And you can help yourself a great deal by accepting the fact that nobody's perfect. Now, many of us as Christians want to be perfect. We'd like to be perfect. We want to be more like Christ. We want to become like Christ. But the fact is, nobody is. And the Corinthians were not. They did a lot of things wrong. They did a lot of things wrong. And they had some doctrine. I mean, if you messed up about the resurrection of Jesus, you messed up. Right? I mean, you don't get more basic than that, because if you get rid of the resurrection of Jesus, you done just wiped out all of Christianity. All of it. Not just some of it. All of it. Christianity means nothing without the resurrection. If Jesus did not come back to life, then Christianity just does not exist as a true religion. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel. I want you to think about that word. In fact, let's say that word, gospel. Gospel. The gospel. That's the good news. The gospel. That's what the word means. Good news. The gospel which I preach to you. So Paul had preached to them the gospel. I'm trying to make a big deal of the word gospel. I want you in your mind to underline it, bold it, circle it, put it in highlights, do whatever you need to do in your mind. We're talking about the gospel. The gospel which I preached to you. Paul preached it, which also you received. Who's the you? Corinthians. So if I received the gospel, what does that mean? I heard it and I accepted it. So I accepted the gospel. And we're going to talk about in a minute what the gospel is. He's going to tell you what the gospel is. But right now, we just want to say it's good news. Paul says, I preached it. You received it. You accepted it. In which also you stand. So not only did you receive it, you are staying in it. You are remaining faithful to the gospel. The gospel is something you receive. It is something that Paul preached. It is something that you stand in. It's something you remain firm to. It is something you remain faithful to. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved. One of these days, we're going to do a study and look up all the New Testament references after Acts chapter 2. Well, probably starting in the gospel, on what the Bible says saves us. What does the Bible say saves us? Not what some denominations say, not even what the Christian church teaches saves us. What does the Bible say saves us? In this particular passage, what does it say saves us? The gospel. So if I'm going to take all that the Bible says about what saves us, it never can be less than that, right? Maybe more than that. In other words, this is not the whole Bible. This is just one verse. So it may be more than that, but it can never be less than that. So if I'm going to make a list of all the things that the Bible says saves us, what is the one thing I make from this list? What would I put in there? The gospel. The gospel saves us. Paul preached it, they received it, they stand in it, and it saves them. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you. In other words, if you remain faithful. Now that's Bible. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. I've got to remain faithful, right? If you hold fast, if you continue to trust in the gospel, unless you believed in vain. And that part of the text gets a little more difficult. I think what he means is if you didn't really believe to start with. I mean, if you really didn't believe it, you just went through the motions. And that's possible, isn't it? I can go through the motions of receiving the gospel and do all the outward stuff that looked like I received it and I really didn't receive it. So unless you believed in vain. Let's read it again. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So Paul preached the gospel. They received it. They remained faithful to it. They were saved by it if they really believed it. Everybody with me? I want to just stop and say, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, ask me. But anyway, I won't do that. Verses 3 and 4. Now he's going to go back and explain what the gospel is. He's going to go back and explain what the gospel is. For, very important. I preach the gospel, you receive the gospel, you stand in the gospel, you're saved by the gospel. For, here's what I did. I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Paul received the gospel from Jesus. Jesus appeared to him, I think taught him the gospel. He received it. He got it from God. He didn't invent it. He didn't come up with it. It wasn't a story he made up. It was something he received. I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, and here's the gospel. Here's the Bible definition of the gospel. Now the word itself means what? Good news. Here's the Bible definition of the gospel. Here's the gospel we're talking about in the New Testament scriptures. For I will deliver to you as a first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Christ died for our sins. Chuck talked about that in his devotional time, that Jesus took the punishment of our sins upon himself. He died not for his own sins, but for our sins. He died as a sacrifice. He died not as a martyr. A martyr means I would die for a principle. He took our sins upon himself. He died in our place. He died as an atoning sacrifice. The punishment of our sins were placed on Him. He died for our sins according to what? According to the Scriptures. In other words, the Bible predicted that He was going to die for our sins. Isaiah 53:6, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity or the sin of us all to fall on Him. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried. He was buried showing that He was dead. They put Him in the tomb. And He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. He was resurrected. He was resurrected from the dead. On which day? The third day. According to what? According to the Scriptures. Psalm 16:10 says He was going to be resurrected. The Bible predicts that He's going to be resurrected. Jesus Himself said He was going to be resurrected. And He was resurrected. And that's the subject of this whole chapter. Now, He included a lot more here to begin with, but that's what He's going to talk about is the resurrection. And the resurrection of Jesus is key to the whole Christian religion. If the resurrection did not occur, if that is not true, then you just wipe out all of Christianity. Christianity means nothing without the resurrection. I mean, Jesus died on the cross. Everybody dies, some one way or the other, right? So what, I mean, Him dying on the cross, you can talk about Him taking our sins and all that kind of stuff, but without the resurrection, nothing else means anything. Nothing else means anything. And if we study the book of Acts, which is the first 30 years of the church, the history of the first 30 years of the church, the primary message of the New Testament apostles was the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus. That's what it was about. We coming up on Easter at the end of this month. And it's okay to celebrate Easter. I'm not opposed to that. It's all right. It's a great time of the year and all that kind of stuff. But you know how often the New Testament Christians celebrated Easter? That's right. Never. We got Jesus died somewhere at 30, 33 A.D. The last book in the New Testament written 95. Don't have any record. The book of Acts covers the first 30 years. No record of ever celebrating Easter. They didn't celebrate Christmas either, by the way. But let me ask the question another way. They never celebrated Easter as we think of Easter. How often did they celebrate the resurrection? At least every Sunday. Every week, they celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. So for Christians, every Sunday is Easter. Every Sunday is Easter. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus every time. When we partake of communion, we think about His death, but it doesn't end there. He was resurrected from the dead. He's alive. I can talk to Him now. He's alive now. So He was resurrected from the dead. Chapter 5, verse 5, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, he begins to pile up the proof that Jesus resurrected from the dead. Now let me stop and talk a little bit about you prove a historical event by legal evidence. You prove a historical event by legal evidence. Then you may use science in the process of proving things, but basically you use proof to prove a historical event, the same kind of proof you would use in a court of law. Not the kind of proof you would use in a scientific lab. Everybody with me? So you would go to a court of law type of proof. And so now he's going to lay out the evidence, legal evidence, proof that Jesus resurrected from the dead. Verse 5, he appeared to Cephas. Who is Cephas? Peter, okay, that's another name. His name was Cephas, Jesus called him Peter. And then to the 12, who's the 12? The 12 apostles, okay. the 12 apostles minus Judas plus Matthias. This is one of the I kind of think Paul was intended to be the 12th apostle. This is one of the arguments for the other side against me. Can't believe the Bible would argue against me. But anyway, when he says the 12, Matthias had to be included, I think. But anyway, he appeared to the 12 because he's not including Paul in this number, right? And it could be that he just used 12 as a technical term for the apostles. But he says he appeared to Peter, then he appeared to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. So we got Peter, we got 12 that included Peter, so we got a total of 12 now. What happens in a court of law if 12 people will stand up and say, I saw this happen, I know that's true? Preponderance of the evidence, okay? That's what Chuck said. 12 people to testify to something, that pretty much makes it true. How many does the Bible say I need to have to prove something? At least 2 or 3. I think every time it says it, it says 2 or 3. You can't convict somebody on the evidence of one person. They may be guilty, but you can't convict them, according to the Bible, on the evidence of one person. You got to have 2 or 3 for eyewitness account. So we got 12. Then he says he appeared to how many? 500. And most of them were still alive. Now, I believe it's wrong to add to the Bible, but let me expand. Paul was saying, you can go ask them. There are 512 people who saw him. Go ask them. Most of them are still alive. Now, if I prove something in the court of law, how many times have I got to prove it? I got to go back every year and prove it over? Once I proved it, I proved it. So 512 people saw Jesus alive. 512 so far in the story. And most of those people, at the time Paul wrote, most of those people were still alive. And if you had a question about it, you could go ask them. Did you really see Jesus when he came back? Then he appeared to James. He said, well, James was one of the apostles. No, not that James. When Linda was in high school, there weren't very many people in her class. What, 36, 35, 36? Three of them were named Linda. Seven named Linda. Okay. But all kind of Lindas everywhere. This James was not James the apostle. This was James, the half-brother of Jesus. He did not believe in Jesus during Jesus' lifetime. Bible doesn't say so, but you know why I think he believed in Jesus? Because he saw him after he came back to life. Because of the resurrection. Then I think he knew who he was. He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared to me also. So Paul says there are 512 people who saw him, and then I saw him. That's 513. That's pretty good evidence in a court of law, isn't it? 513 people are willing to stand up and say, yes, Jesus is alive. I saw him. I'm an eyewitness to the fact that Jesus is alive. For I was the least of the importance of the apostles. I was the least. Least important. And he thought of himself that way because he was not one of the original. And not fit to be called an apostle. Why not? Why does Paul say they shouldn't have called him an apostle? He persecuted the church. When did he persecute the church? Before he became a Christian, right? And I don't think there's any question God forgave him of that. I mean, you have any question about that? God forgave him. But I'm not sure Paul ever forgave himself. He said, I persecuted the church, and because I did, I shouldn't even be an apostle. But he was an apostle. You get to Galatians, he defends his apostleship. But he said, I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain or useless. But I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. In other words, God's grace is what made me to be what I am. It really wasn't me. It was God's grace, God's mercy, God's goodness, God's power that made me to be what I am. But once God saved me by God's grace, I did more than all of them. Isn't that what he's saying? I worked hard on all of them. I'm not worthy to be one, but I worked hard on all of them. And I think that happens sometimes, don't you? A person who realizes his own sinfulness and how God's mercy and God's grace saved him, all the evidence says he didn't stand a chance. He works hard on anybody. Some of us who were raised in the church, I heard this joke one time. Some fellow was raised in the church, and he always was taught about Jesus and all that kind of stuff, and he became a Christian, but that was not a dramatic conversion. That was not a change from a drunken sinner to a saved Christian. It was not that dramatic conversion, because he just grew up in the church, and he was always, and then people would come to his church and give testimonies about how they had murdered people, and then they became a Christian, and the Lord made a difference in his life. And they'd committed adultery with several different women, and Christ came in his life and made a difference in his life. And so one day this fellow who'd been raised in the church, after listening to all these testimonies about the dramatic conversion, said, I wish I'd have killed somebody. You know, then I could give a good testimony. But the fact of it is, Paul persecuted the church. His conversion was a dramatic conversion. I mean, he was involved. He didn't actually throw the stones, but he was involved in putting Stephen to death. Because Stephen was a Christian. That's the only reason they killed him. And Paul was involved in that. He approved of that, the scripture says. It was what he wanted to happen. And he said, I don't even deserve to be an apostle because I persecuted the church. But I am an apostle, and as an apostle, I work more than any of them. I work more than any of them. And he worked preaching the gospel. That's what he did, right? According to the first verse, he went and preached the gospel. The gospel that they believe, they received, the gospel that they stand in, the gospel that saves them. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believe. Who is the they? The other apostles. So whether I preach the gospel to you or the other apostles preach the gospel to you, we all preach the same gospel. What is the gospel? Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. And not only did we preach it, you believed it. What was the word he used differently in the first part of the chapter? You received it. Now he says you believed it. Now, what is the gospel according to verses 3 and 4? Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. That's the gospel. I understand people, I've never had it happen to me, but people sometimes will say, he preached the gospel. And you check out what he preached, he was preaching about the creation. He preached the gospel. Or you check out what he was preaching about the church. He preached the gospel. Or he's preaching about prophecy, Jesus is coming back. Somebody say, he preached the gospel. Technically, that's not right. You with me? Technically, the only time you preach the gospel is if you mention death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. Now you can say you preach the Bible. You can say you preach the truth. But the only time you preach the gospel is if you mention the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's what the gospel is. And that is the gospel that saves us. That is the gospel we must receive. That is the gospel we must remain faithful to. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And Paul says, not only did I preach it, the other apostles preached it. And he said to the Corinthians, you believed it, you received it, you stand in it, and you are saved by it. was saved by the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I have a computer, and I don't have to get my concordance out and can it like this. I looked up how many times the word gospel is used in the New American Standard Bible, New Testament. You want to take a guess how many times the word gospel is used in New Testament scriptures? All right, 500. Anybody else got a guess? 101. 101 times the word gospel is used in your American Standard Bible. I could have, if I'd known, hey, I could have looked up the Greek word and see how many times that Greek word's used in the Greek New Testament. I didn't do that. But I could have. My computer will do that if I would learn how. And in New American Standard, the word gospel is used 101 times. The gospel is what they preached. That's what the apostles preached. That's what the New Testament Christians received and believed. That's what they need to stand in, to stand firm in the gospel. And that's what saves them, the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. That's the reason the cross is the symbol of Christianity. That's the reason we partake of communion. That's the reason we're Christians. If you get rid of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we're just a good social club. A good social club, the Lions Club and all that stuff, they do a lot of good work, don't they? But without the resurrection of Jesus, none of it means anything. Now, starting after this, he's going to talk about our resurrection, the Christian's resurrection. He started with the resurrection of Jesus. And he's going to explain about the resurrection. And so I hope you'll read 1 Corinthians 15 several times. I hope you'll come back in the next few weeks, Lord willing. We'll talk about that. And we're leading up to Easter, the last Sunday in March. But I'm going to be by the resurrection of Jesus before Easter, but that's all right. Because the New Testament Christians celebrated the resurrection how often? Every Sunday. Never celebrated Easter as we think about Easter. They just didn't do that. Didn't celebrate Christmas, didn't celebrate Easter. We do that, and I don't think that's wrong. I just think we need to know when we're doing stuff that we've done come up with and when we're doing stuff that's Bible. Every Sunday, they celebrated the resurrection, that Jesus arose from the dead, that he is alive. And it was a bodily resurrection. The tomb was empty. Not that his spirit continued to live. His body came back to life. And we're going to talk about in 1 Corinthians the kind of body we will have. It will be a body, but it will be a different kind of body. But you will still be you. You will still be you. The resurrection of Jesus, central to Christianity. I preach the gospel to you. You receive the gospel, you stand in the gospel, and you're saved by the gospel. And the gospel is death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's a historical fact that happens outside of us. It happened nearly 2,000 years ago.